Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Screencast special WWE WrestleMania Ranked. I'm Greg, that's Tim, that's Mike, that's Sancho West, and we've invited a member of the wrestling world to pick a WrestleMania match each and every week for us to rank and review leading in to Philadelphia in April. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get my daily video vlog Gregway each and every day. You can get the Kinda Funny screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kishan Patel, Nathan Lamoth, Karen Lindener, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Casey Kern. Before we go any further, Sancho West, how are you?
I am ecstatic. It's always awesome to be on Kinda Funny with the Kinda Funny best friends. And more importantly, we're talking wrestling, you know, that with the I in and the apostrophe at the end. And, you know, what's interesting for me, this could have come at a better time. I mean, we'll talk about the happenstances. Me, a content creator, getting involved in the wrestling community, finally putting my name into the hat and getting involved into the fray. And what better way to launch point that from within a Kinda Funny WrestleMania in review? And, you know, I love the in review series. Oh, do we got podcasts in a podcast here?
No, we don't. Tim put a quick end to that. Well, I guess we do. We got Tim. One man gang gang. With
yeah, guys. I got a podcast in a podcast.
Come on, Tim. I'm going gonzo.
Well, you want to rank those abs?
Go for it, man.
Yes. Can we talk about he's just so built. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like jacked built, but that man's just like sturdy.
Taker?
Yeah, Taker.
He's a tree trunk,
dude.
Oh, that, trunk and a half.
Man, it's amazing to look at. Like, compared to everyone else, like, that dude, that man's just built.
Sancho, you call out, yes. Of course, you've been on Kinda Funny a bunch, usually for game stuff, Fortnite, pop in and talk about that. You are going full bore into wrestling content creation. Tell us about that, and where can people keep up with you?
Definitely. Thank you. You could keep up with me on TikTok because it's the Wild West over there, and you could show a lot of wrestling content itself at Sancho West Wrestling on TikTok. And I am spattering there on Instagram as well at Sancho West. But essentially, is I wanted to pivot my content creating away from Fortnite mainly and get into pro wrestling because it's something that I've loved for the longest time since I was a kid. But more importantly, I really believe with the Netflix deal and things of that sort that wrestling is going to hit another stratosphere. And the WWE seems to be embracing content creators a little bit more easier. Lots of content creators have been in promo packages and things of that sort. And that would be awesome if I was on a Mania promo package. But for me, Greg, it's more of like a way to get more intimate with wrestling. And I found it being a clip reaction or watching watch parties with SmackDown and Raw that I have begun a little bit more intimate. And one thing as well is you've had Santi's app as well, and we've created a podcast called Wrestling is Cool, and it's a little bit more of a lax approach to wrestling, more of a fan-created angle at it, so to speak, and it's been fun. And hell, dude, we went to WrestleMania 39 together, and that was an experience in itself, seeing, you know, you do your thing and then seeing Tim rocking the awesome outfit and Snowbite Mike sneaking his way down to the front in a variety of places. And it was a great time, and forever I will also love, I would love wrestling, man. It's just my thing, man, and
hell yeah,
it's just a part of who I am.
Love it. This episode is brought to you by WWE 2K24 and Avatar Braving the Elements, but we'll start with a video to explain how we got here.
What's up? It is former AEW superstar and Kinda Funny best friend, aka one of the trogs. Let's go, Fuego del Sol. And if the Kinda Funny crew is reviewing WrestleMania matches, then you cannot leave off one of my favorite matches of all time. I'm talking WrestleMania 25, The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Both men known for creating big moments at WrestleMania. And Shawn Michaels, who was a mainstay of Raw for so long. The Undertaker, a mainstay of SmackDown for so long. A match that we hadn't got since the 90s, the year before the Royal Rumble. They're the final 2 men, and we finally got that glimpse of what could be a great match here today. And then you have this great build where Shawn is trying to prove he's not intimidated. He will not be scared of The Undertaker. And it leads to one of the greatest matches of all time, with one of the coolest finishes of all time. I cannot wait for you guys to watch this match.
Let's go back to WrestleMania 25 live from Houston, Texas on April 5th, 2009 in front of 72,744 fans. Mike, you weren't watching wrestling. You weren't aware of this.
Nope.
I mean, what did you think watching this?
Oh, I mean, can I use the word? You ready?
Sure.
Perfection.
Yeah.
This was it. This is, you have taken me to the absolute peak, boys. I want to thank, of course, AEW superstar and just wrestling phenom Fuego del Sol, who's been everywhere, for this match recommendation, because we've seen some great ones. We've seen some stinkers, JBL. I'm talking to you, big dog. But I'll tell you what, this was the peak. I was taken to it. I am a believer. And by God, it's still real to me, damn it. Because that sign was in the background.
Oh, so yeah.
Good. I loved it. I loved everything.
It was probably, it was actually, you know, closer to the time frame of that actually happening. Sacha, you talk about wrestling being, you know, part of you, fabric of your soul, right? Mike's the opposite of that. He's our noob that we've brought along for this show as he's fallen in love with it more recently. What do you remember about this match? Were you there for the build? Were you watching live?
Yeah, absolutely. I was there. It was more of one of those things where I wasn't there week to week basis,
yeah,
but it was there because it's Mania and you always have to find a way to watch Mania, especially one that was in Texas and growing up in Laredo, Texas, and finally moving to Austin, Texas. For me, when it comes down to these two, these are the master classes, the masterpiece. You want to go to who is the best of all time. This is Mount Rushmore, living in person, fighting it out in the ring. And more importantly, Shawn Michaels is a Texas boy, and I absolutely gravitated to Shawn Michaels. Anytime I heard San Antonio, which is as close as you're going to get to Austin at that time, I was like, yes, dude, this is my guy, especially when he's my guy, especially when he overcame, you know, with the where that one battle was Stone Cold. I mean, that was fantastic. And then you had the whole DX angle with Mike Tyson. There's so many things that Shawn has been a part of, and to go against the streak, the Undertaker, I was ecstatic to be able to watch this again. I'm just surprised, gentlemen. I have to say this. Why not WrestleMania 26? We have the career versus the streak. I was Fuego. Hey, but Fuego says he wanted to watch 25. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's spectacular about this, and you really, we'll get into the package and all that stuff, and yada, yada, yada. But, like, it was the fact that this is a dream match that you never thought you would have seen, right? Like, I always go back to when we talk on the show about coming back to wrestling when I came to high school, and it was so cool for the Attitude Era. Like, I remember my first Raw back, because my first Raw back after having kids at school turned me back on to, oh, you got to watch blah, 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 was when Triple H came out and Shawn had just left WWE. And it's when he brings out X-Pac, and by the end of the show, he gets Road Dogg and Billy Gunn to join DX. It was the formation of the new DX, but it was this thing of like, when Shawn left, you thought it was over, right? And they make reference to it in the match, of course, and their package, too, of like him actually getting hurt against The Undertaker in the casket match with a back injury that would lead to him being on ice for 4 years and being gone. So for him to come back and come in and put on this clinic with Taker of like what it was, and granted, I mean, it wasn't his first match back, but you understand what I'm saying, of like, this is insane, and the pomp and the circumstance and what Mania is outrageous to him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, the last couple matches, like Mike was saying, they kind of range. But then you look at some of them, I feel like I'm such a broken record here being like, that's one of the best of all time. But to keep going, this is one of the best of all time.
For sure.
We could say it's lightning in a bottle. And we look at the Hogan Rock match. Like, I do think that was lightning in the bottle. That was place. That was time. That was an energy and a culmination of stories without it being a story itself. It's just those moments came together. To everyone understood what this meant for the men in that ring and to the people watching and the passing of the torch and the generations and all of that. Even though it wasn't really a passing of the torch in a literal way, it was in the sense from a fan perspective and all that. This to me is the opposite of lightning in a bottle. This is what actual planning and good ideas seen all the way through can look like.
Yeah.
Where you're talking about two of the best of all time with storylines that matter. Like, I always love when a belt doesn't need to be part of the match and it still feels like it's the main event.
Sure.
Just because of who is wrestling and why they're wrestling. And for it to be WrestleMania 25, the streak which at this point was how many?
16-0.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
16-0. And then Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania.
Yep.
Like, I love that for years there was a run with Taker that it's like, it's not going to be this one, but it could be this one. It could be this one. And watching this match multiple times, I know the answer. I know that Taker wins. But I was like, this could be the one. Like, they make you believe. And that, I think, is the most important thing wrestling can possibly do, is just entertain you so much that reality goes away. You were just in the moment. And these two men are so uniquely positioned because they are so charismatic. They are so, like, specific in the way that they move and the mannerisms. Mm-hmm. And we talked last match mm-hmm. about the Hogan Rock, not last match, but the Hogan Rock match of, like, it's catchphrases and poses, right? Shawn Michaels and Undertaker have those. And then they also have the unique moves, the finishers, the specials. And because they've been doing this for so long, unlike most wrestlers who they might have their special, they have a finisher, maybe there's like a submission variant that they add in. Both Undertaker and Shawn Michaels have about 10 specials. And any situation that they're in could result in a special. And that could then result in a reversal of that special over and over in every unique possible way. These are old men, even at this point, going at it, and you would not know.
It cracks my shit up when JR calls Shawn Michaels a young man at one point in this thing. I'm like, shut up, JR. You know what I mean? But yeah, he's right there with you.
Anyway, I just, this match is, it's literally perfect.
Like, to jump off of something you said there, right, I think that I want to get in before we get too far away. You're talking about how good they are and how good they are with reversals, counters, specials, but it's a moment-to-moment thing. My third bullet point on the match itself, right, is like when Taker gets the advantage, he gets Shawn in the corner and starts throwing strikes. You see why these guys are so great. Undertaker's punches look powerful. They look terrifying. And the way Shawn Michaels is whipping his hair back and his head back, it looks like he's getting the shit kicked out of him. And it's like punches in the corner look entertaining and awesome and, oh my God, let alone what you will see as you go. Tim, I don't want to get too far away from you because I love starting the hype package with you.
I appreciate that.
What do you think of this hype package? He is the king of hype.
I mean, I don't know that I am, because whoever worked on this actually is. This, again, it's not lightning in a bottle. This is a vision. This is an understanding of, you can only do the look back at everything leading up to this moment stuff so many times.
Yeah.
And whenever you do, it needs to tell its story besides just like, here's a list of events that happened. Why did this list of events turn into this moment right now, and why is that special? And being able to compare the legacy of the streak, 16 wins of Undertaker over even more than 16 years of WrestleMania there, having Shawn Michaels be Mr. WrestleMania, being able to show so much footage, and including the bouts that they've had together in the past, all of that coming together, but wrapped in this beautiful bow of its light versus dark. Shawn Michaels coming out wearing the all white. That is not a Shawn Michaels thing. This was for this feud. And oh, they went there, man. They went there.
Dude, yeah, the swelling music behind Shawn's Heaven on Earth speech. Quote, sometimes it's hell trying to get to heaven. Then to move to 16-0. This fucking montage of the Undertaker WrestleMania wins, the commentators, that. But then Shawn, but I am Mr. WrestleMania, right? The time for prayer has just begun. The choir music, the light. This is, I think it was said last week by Simon, but this is a 10 out of 5. Like, this is a package I could not get over. Sancho, am I crazy?
No, you're not. And it goes into another gear when it shows Shawn Michaels in a literal cemetery kicking over the tombstones, right? That's when it just keeps going. And you talked about that. It's like a prayer. I think it's like, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, like that in itself is really classic. But you nailed it, Tim. This is because this package is only powered by the legacy that it holds behind it. Without that legacy, you're not going to get this strong of a package. I mean, probably the greatest package of all time is going to be The Rock versus Stone Cold in my way. Like that to me is the top, but that doesn't have as much legacy involved in terms of Taker versus Shawn. And the reason why I give it the 5 out of 5 for myself is that it has that Undertaker legacy. And in anything with Shawn, it's just going to be a plus. Because Shawn could put anything over, and this package was entirely had multiple layers, and it sets it up perfectly. You don't have any questions about what's going on, and I think you nailed it, Tim. Light versus dark. My only gripe about it, we can't just give everything flowers here, okay? My only gripe about it is they ruined Shawn seeing that. I wish Shawn waited WrestleMania to pull out that all white gear.
Sure, it was doing so it early. Clean. Yeah. It would have been way doper.
And it was so clean. And I know we'll get to the entrances later, but I thought, wow, that reminded me of the Floyd Mayweather, where you use your opponent's gear and you wear it, you intimidate them. And I thought it was a perfect choice for Sean to do that. But this is a great precursor if you're wanting to get more into the Undertaker's WrestleMania lore, to the Undertaker Cemetery cinematic match, which is against AJ Styles. Ooh. Now that one, that's why Undertaker is such a cool gimmick, because you could do anything with the guy.
Yeah.
Put it on the list for me to watch. I haven't seen that, but I'll tell you what, as the newbie, like this is how you set the stage. This is how you put it up for me to understand, what am I watching? Of course I know who the Undertaker is. Did I know he was on a 16-0 win streak? Absolutely not. Do I know Mr. WrestleMania? No, I do not. But he's had 16 years of WrestleMania hype, and he's ready to break the streak. And I'm sitting there going, is he gonna break the streak? You see the signs in the background when we get to the entrances. But the package itself, light versus dark, it was all there. The history, the setting it up, and the commentary was beautiful. The commentary, when we get into this, was so well done that added on the things that I needed, right? They talk about it. Sean got over on him the past two times with that sweet chin music. And now in the back of my head, I'm like, man, when he does that, could it be the one right there? And so I'm on the edge of my seat just getting to it, going, am I going to witness history here? Because it's on the line. And it felt like it was about to go down. And that's all I could ever ask for.
To be clear, we're all saying 5 out of 5 on that one, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I just want to
make
sure.
6 out of 5.
Yeah.
Incredible. So good.
Sancho, so, kick me off talking about the
Elden Ring music.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, the Elden Ring music that was in there.
Yeah.
Incredibly epic music. And again, using that type of epic music is a cheat code. Like, it's like, it makes things more exciting. But also, it makes things evident when you don't really got the stuff. Like, if you're putting that type of music, like, Gia will always make fun of me when we had to make the trailer for Kinda Funny Live 2. And we knew internally the Kind of Funny Live 2 was going to have the video walls and be it so much bigger than Kind of Funny Live 1, which in comparison was an absolute joke of an event. I loved it. It was amazing.
Of course,
but it was very, very, very small. There was like very little pomp and circumstance. At the time, there was a lot. But the trailer for Kind of Funny Live 2, there's a part where I last year we did this, and it was crazy. And then the video footage I have, which was the most exciting footage, was just like balloons kind of dropping down in front of us standing on stage.
And she's
just like, that is the least hype thing possible. She's like, I know it's all you got, but it's so funny. And now it's like, we have the stuff to back up the music. That song was that times 1,000, ratcheted all the way up. That wasn't just like the Elden Ring intro, like menu music. That was the Elden Ring final boss music that Andy's been showing me, where it's just like way, way, way upped, and the footage totally matched it.
Totally. So anyways, Sancho, talk to me about entrances. You kick off this section for us.
All right. You talk about, there's nothing like, Mike, there's nothing like an Undertaker entrance at Mania. It is probably the most budgeted, the most pyro, anything you can think about it. But I have to tell you though, Mike, this is probably the most basic one out of all the Taker entrances. There's not a lot of extras. There's not druids. There's none of these kind of special.
I was expecting a motorcycle.
American Badass. No, we want an American Badass right here.
That's Biker Taker, my friend. So out of the Taker entrance, I love that the use of the fire was really cool, because it's trying to really nail down heaven and hell here. And I think they did a great job with it. And by far, this is my favorite version of Undertaker, the dead man veteran versus like the urn carrying Undertaker. This one is by far, the black leather is fantastic. And then when you juxtapose that with Shawn Michaels, who, I'm going to be real, I'm sure all of y'all on paper been through these kinds of meetings where, like, you know what? I'm going to come down from a little lift, and it's going to be really awesome. But it lost a lot of steam for me as he was making his way down. It looked cool for a moment, but I was like, all right, Sean, you got to get your way down.
Oh, you're a little bit fucking crazy.
I'm just saying, dude.
Descending from heaven, Taker ascending from hell, great. But I mean, when it comes down, and you're like, damn, like, I know Sean's the whole born-again Christian thing, and you know what I mean? It's like there's a whole story behind it, right? And you're like, damn, this is coming. And he gets to the ground, explosion, and then bam, it's Sexy Boy.
You didn't let me get to that point yet. That was the saving grace when it hits that dun-dun-dun-dun, that guitar riff. Oh, finally, That's the Sean I know. That is the one that I love. It's the, come on, Tim. You got to back me up on that. That was
no, not at all. It was incredible. That, here's where I'm at with it. It's like I agree with so much of what you're saying up until the disrespect to Shawn Michaels descending from the heavens. Because Shawn Michaels' theme song is so iconic. Yes. And it is such a moment where he is one of those guys where he gets the pyro. He gets the pose. He gets like the stuff going on, plussed up from a lot of the other guys that like might just have whatever song. He's singing his own song, Mike. I mean, like, come on. There's so much.
Oh,
special
he's singing that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's so much.
And the female voice is Jimmy Hart.
He
had to crank it up in post because he had no females to say. Sean,
it's gold, Sean. Man. But I love that. Like, how do you plus it up, especially with the storyline they got going here? You add the choir, you add the descent, you add the colors, the white smoke, and all of that. Just, again, for a specific, we're telling this story, and this is the best way to possibly do it. It was perfect for me, man. And to your point about Taker. I do love, and this is true of the entrance and the match itself, like, it was, I don't want to say no frills, but there wasn't the interruptions, there wasn't the need for the druids and all this stuff. It was like, no, the story here of, like, putting these two against each other.
They need to just be mirror images.
Just be mirror images. Yeah. Don't plus it up too much. It enhances it more. So, yeah, it's fives from me.
Yeah, 100% for me too. Sancho, does it bring it down, or is it still a five for you, Hayden ass hater?
It's a five, but I know in their mind they thought it was cooler. Yeah, come on.
It was cooler. Yeah, Mike, tell him he's wrong.
I mean, I don't agree with Sancho, but I will say something that people are going to get on me for. As the newbie, I am not accustomed to Sean's music. And everything we went through the hype package with to then get the five of it and then switch to sexy boy, I was like, that sucks.
That's what came out of my mouth.
I was like, it's odd to me because I get that this is your theme music. This is what you've built. Everybody knows it. But it is odd. Like, there's got to be a conversation in the back room of like, hey, I know that's your song, but like the vibe we're going with, this is a tonal shift that doesn't fit at
all. That's not wrestling.
And for me, it's like that happened. And I'm like, okay, well, now you've lost me. Like, it's funny. I get it. It's a gimmick, but I didn't love the song.
It's more at this point, like, for Sean and that music again, like, I thought I would never hear it again at some point.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And not to mention, think of it this way too, for like what we're talking about of legacies and all the shit. Like, I love that JR calls out, right, the irony of numbers. This is HBK's 16th WrestleMania. It's 16-0 for Taker. But it's the idea that, like, you have to understand, my first wrestling show ever was a house show in Chicago. And it was, Sean came out, and I stood up on my chair, and I went to yell, but you're not, it was during the song, I'm like, but you're not a sexy boy. But I caught myself, and my mom's like, you can say it. Because I knew sex wasn't a word you threw around, but you're not a sexy boy. Like, that's how old, like, Sean, like, how long Sean's career is, let alone you get there. And we'd already gone, you don't know it, of course, but, like, he had done DX, so he did have different music for a while, you know what I mean, the DX theme, and then, but to come back and be the heartbreak kid, to come out, I mean, like, again, I think I love it, and I love them being mirror images, right? Because Sean is energy coming. He always has been, right? And that's why he went to push, and he's in the fucking white, everything white's gone, and he's in his outfit, comes down, even when he drops, does his prayer, and pops a fucking pyro, and, like, they do such a great job of scale with these entrances, of showing you how tall the WrestleMania stuff is back there, and, like, having the fire.
What a set.
That stage.
What a stage.
Yeah. The diamond star, come on.
Dude.
Houston Texan as big as you could imagine out there.
It was so hot. Cool. And I know, like, we talk a lot about the arena shows or stadium shows and, like, how the ramp can add or take away from the experience. I loved this. There's something about this era right here where it was LED, but it wasn't full LED. The ramp is long, but, like, it looked purposeful. Something about this one added up for me, and maybe it was just these entrances, but and especially with Undertaker. It's so long. You got to give him some time to walk and stuff, and I feel like it was the right level, and plussing up Sean's entrance to have so many extra bits to match that, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought the cam work was really good too. You know, like, they cut back to Sean a couple things, boom, and fall out, and they cut to Sean. He's there, and I love the line that JR has, right? He's like, one defiant, one destructive, because they keep driving home that Sean's not scared. He's not worried about, he's not, you know, it's not the phenom to him. It is this. And even the line, they're both winners, but only one can win tonight. Like, I was like, oh, that's a really great setup.
Another one, because you know I'm a big Michael Cole guy. Shout out to Michael Cole on the desk, man. Is that, you got the two legends and then Michael Cole in there? Like, that's the youngest I've seen Michael Cole. And I'm like, yo, look at him on the table, man. That's my dude.
Like, what if I told you that, like, during this era, this is a little after me and Cool Greg's time, but, like, Michael Cole was not liked. Like, Michael Cole was, like, the new guy. It's like, get out of here. You're not the king. You're not JR. Like, you're just the other guy. Like, whatever. And it is so silly to think that now, because like, he is so damn good.
Yeah.
And he probably always was. And honestly, like, looking back and even hearing him here, I'm like, we were just such little assholes. Like, sure. You know, but like,
I mean, that was always the thing of, you're coming off of JR and the King, right? You're coming off of this setup that has just been so good for so long that introducing anybody is going to be a long, you know, swing of trying to get in there. And then, not to mention that, you know, he does, I don't think he's done favors by the on-again, off-again relationships of commentators for a while there, yeah. Where JR's there, he's gone, he's this, he's that, King's there, he's gone. He's like, it would have been easier, I think, to start a commentary team that was Cole and somebody else, and like, that goes, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, he had Taz on whatever, yeah, SmackDown stuff, yeah. But even then, it wasn't like, you're not the guys.
And that's, it's funny, Sancho brought this up, and it's not as relevant to the intro itself or whatever, but an important thing that I want to nail home to you, Mike, is the Raw and SmackDown, like, getting them together was not a common thing. Like, there'd be Survivor Series every year. That was kind of the bigger chance. And like, there were the bigger pay-per-views that there would be some the crossover. But back then, it was very much the SmackDown versus Raw era, where for the most part, they were separate things. And you're not seeing people pop up every week on different shows. And they would actually do a draft where it was like, once a year, there'd be a draft of who's going on what show. And they took it a little more seriously.
They just did that one recently.
But they took it more seriously then. Like, it felt like it actually meant more.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually see each other.
Yeah, so building up these two amazing legends on each side, Undertaker owned SmackDown. Like, SmackDown was Undertaker's, especially during that generation. So for him to go up against Mr. WrestleMania, repping Raw, something special.
Ooh.
Mike, jump in and talk to me about the match.
Oh, man, the match was a ton of fun. This match was meaty. This match went the distance, and it took me places, and I loved every single moment of it.
I think me and Tim were having a meeting in the conference room when you started this, and we see you just reacting to it as you watch at your desk.
It was unreal, and I mean, you know, there's so much to cover. There were so many incredible spots here. There were so many moments where the crowd really got into it. I mean, if you put me
in this moment
here in Houston, I would be standing the entire time because it was absolutely phenomenal. There was great moments of commentary mixed with the match where Shawn Michaels is putting Taker in the submission lock, and they're like, he's never tapped out. He'll never tap out. And you're like, is he going to tap out tonight? And you got the signs all over the place, the beginning of the cat and mouse game, and I'm faster, I'm smaller, yeah. I'm more agile than you, and I'm ducking under you, and I'm playing games with you, to Taker, like you said, just getting a hold of him. And there's something that I will never forget. As much as I've watched wrestling to as little as I've watched wrestling, when Taker gets a hold of you by the throat for the choke slam, and there's moments where he gets you and you feel it, but there's moments where somehow there's a clap on it.
Yeah.
You don't forget that. That's the sound that I want to hear every time he gets a hold of somebody. And I mean, I'll let you guys go, but I'll tell you, this match was phenomenal. I had a ton of fun. It went the distance with everybody's finishers. The finale was incredible. We'll talk about. This was awesome to watch.
Sancho, what about you? Wrestling lifelong fan.
I look, I'm not trying to be Mr. Wet Blanket here.
Okay? Oh, my God.
Let me slow down. Slow down. Whoa. Slow
Get
down
your
here, okay?
Pitchforks ready.
I'm not trying to be a heel here, okay? I think the match really starts cooking halfway through. It gets really good for me. Now, I enjoy the offensive disparity between the two, where Shawn is not going to pick up Taker. He does do some atomic drops and things of that sort.
Yeah, yeah.
And he uses his quickness, as Mike pointed out. But for me, the match is very formulaic, a very television safe match until you get after that, good Lord, that botch spot with the Taker going out of the ring.
Oof.
After Amazing. That moment, it was crazy that he did that. After that moment, that's when the match really gets into its really cooking. All right. It does a lot better than Cock and ever can. All right. We're talking about masterclass wrestling between the two, where you have those finishers versus finisher, a counter and counter, and you're talking about the selling of, and it wasn't, was that because Shawn has a tendency to oversell if he wants to.
Yeah.
If you get on his bad side, like he did against Hogan in SummerSlam, he will oversell, but this was just the right amount to make Taker. It just shows you the amount of respect that Shawn has for the Undertaker. And once we get into that third act of getting closer to the finish, that's when you talked about the crowd. The crowd really was in a tense mood until about the halfway point. Then they really got into it. And then they really started believing that Shawn could do this. And that's when I think that's when the match, it gets that tipping point for me. Because at first they were like, we're on Taker's side. We're not going to go for Shawn. Shawn, whatever you do, we don't care. And then it's until they start believing like Rocky, Tim, that he's going to be able to get this job done. That's for me when the match gets really good for me. And the finish we'll talk about later, but
yeah,
it's a great match. It just took a little bit to get there. That's all.
Really, see, I appreciate that, though.
Really quick, nothing cooler than the last ride signature move when he fully extends his arms. No human being should be going through that. You should not be. Safety protocol should say do not do that. And when he fully extends and throws you down, it's like that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And to put a pin on what I was going to say is this is like probably one of the most athletic versions of Taker that we get to see in a while. Like this is where Taker is.
He's laying it all out.
He's laying it all out, and And Mike, just to let you know, for The Undertaker, at this moment of time, he was starting not to wrestle less and less. He would probably appear a couple of nights here and there, and then he started wrestling less and less after this, and he only appeared at WrestleMania, and he would train all year for just a WrestleMania moment. So this was like the last version of Undertaker that was wrestling full-time, that had a lot of moments in throughout the year, and would accumulate it in a WrestleMania defense of the streak. So that to me, what I enjoyed the most, because this was like, all right, this is the Undertaker that we're going to remember forever, not the Undertaker past this point when he gets, I would say, beyond WrestleMania, like 2029-ish, where that's after Undertaker versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels as the special guest. You need to watch that, Mike. Right. After that moment, that's when we get a different Taker.
This episode of WrestleMania Ranked is brought to you by WWE 2K24. Step into the ring and finish your story with new match types like ambulance and casket matches, a roster of more than 200 superstars and legends, new career mode experiences, and so much more. The latest installment of the franchise features several advancements, including 2K Showcase of the Immortals. 40 years in the making, WWE 2K24's Showcase mode puts players in control, playing through the most iconic moments in WrestleMania history, as 2K's distinctive slingshot tech seamlessly morphs from gameplay to live-action footage and back again for the most immersive WrestleMania video game experience to date. Finish your story with Standard Edition cover superstar, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, or Deluxe Edition cover superstars Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair when WWE 2K24 launches on March 5th with early access and March 8th worldwide. Pre-order WWE 2K24 and receive 1 month of Peacock, US only, and WWE 2K23 digital only to play while you wait.
This episode's brought to you by Avatar Braving the Elements. We know you love talking about all things TV, film, and pop culture with us, so there's another podcast that we think you're going to enjoy. It's called Avatar Braving the Elements, and it's Nickelodeon's official companion podcast to Avatar The Last Airbender. Y'all already know Barrett loves Avatar. He thinks it's one of the best coming-of-age heroes journeys out there that perfectly blends enticing action, great comedy, and social commentary that's all backed by great art style and an iconic soundtrack. Each week, host Janet Varney, the voice of Korra, and Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko, rewatch every episode of The Last Airbender. They're joined by special guests like the cast, superfans, and even the creators of Avatar, Michael DiMartino and Brian Konitzko, for a deep dive and behind-the-scenes look into the Avatarverse you can't get anywhere else. Whether you're a longtime bender or new to the series, jump into the epic world of Avatar with Avatar Braving the Elements. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all need to check out Kinda Funny Game Showdown, our weekly video game trivia game show. You can watch live on YouTube or on Twitch every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. But now, thanks to popular demand, Kinda Funny Game Showdown is available on podcast services. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else, please subscribe and rate the show 5 stars. It really helps us get Kinda Funny out there, and we couldn't thank you enough. We aim to make this a video-only show, so many of the games will be best enjoyed watching on YouTube. But despite that, enough of you guys asked for audio versions, so we're making that happen anyways. Of course, that also means if you have the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon, you will now also get the audio version of the show ad-free. No matter how you're watching or listening to Kinda Funny Game Showdown, thank you. And if you haven't checked it out yet, there is no better time than now. We're already many episodes into the show, so you can catch up now on YouTube or the brand new podcast version of the show. If you love what we do, please get the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or on YouTube to get the show ad-free. If you just want to support us for free, please subscribe and rate Kinda Funny Game Showdown on your favorite podcast service now.
I understand where you're coming from with this one, Sancho, but I think it's all part of the storytelling of, like, I like the cat and mouse in the beginning, Sean faking injuries, you know, the suck it and all that stuff. I agree. It's not, I mean, I don't want to say it takes a while to get cooking, because I think that's an integral part of the match, especially to get where we are at the end, right? Of that just amazing thing when Sean kicks out and Undertaker fly, like, does the I can't believe this is happening. To get into the end where they finally we have a finish and both competitors just lay there on the floor exhausted. If we didn't have a, oh, we're going and going and going and building and building and building, I don't think that hits as hard, Tim, if that makes sense.
Oh, I mean, I'm so right there with you. I feel like you needed every element of this match for it to earn what it gets to at the end. Because we always talk about the 1-2 ooze, the two counts, and like how much it bothers Gia. She hates how overused it is. And it is overused in a lot of ways. I also get it's just part of what the language of this is. But when you earn this many kickouts, and it gets to the point, because like it's kind of like a Family Guy joke where they make the joke the first time and you laugh, and they make it again, you're like, why you keep doing this joke? But then they do it again, you're like, you know what, it's funny again. In wrestling, I feel like it's the type of thing where when we get the two count, you're like, okay. And then they do it again, you're like, all right, how long are we gonna do this? The third time, fourth time, fifth time, as you like keep going and they keep up in the ante, you're like, how are these men still going? And that's what I'm most impressed by, is like what Sancho was saying. This is Undertaker just going. And I feel like I haven't seen that in so long. I just haven't watched any of the old matches. And it was so nice to see, because I'm like, yes, this is Taker. This is what we remember.
And it's not even him going, because I feel like it's going and going and going.
Yeah.
There are so many things that are the counter reversal. I mean, an early one, right? It's Sean, double axe handle off the top rope, into the choke slam, into the sweet chin music. It's a counter, into the figure four, into the Hell's Gate, into the rope. You're like, that's like shit you read out loud and even watch. And I'm like, damn, I'm used to seeing this shit in like ECW, like RVD, totally. Jerry Lynn, maybe a little more high flying. But it is that idea of like counter, counter, counter. Yep. We're so evenly matched. And especially here from the beginnings of, I'm going to be fast, I'm going to dodge your punches, I'm going to kick you, I'm going to chop you, I'm going to get out of there. Like, to get to this point, like, damn.
The beginning was who's in charge of the momentum, right? And then as you went on, then it just became a battle of finishers and reversals and all that. And I feel like all of that just told such a great story. But it reminded me a lot of last year at WrestleMania 39, watching Rhea and Charlotte, where it's like, you could tell they're like, we're going all out. Like, we're trying to make a moment here that is going to be unforgettable, and we're leaving it all on in the ring. That's what this match was. Both of these men, this could have been their last match. This felt like a retirement match.
Totally.
You know, like they just put it all out there. No shame. It's like, man, it's really incredible. And even Taker getting the botch there, of like, it was scary, you know, seeing this giant
dude,
9.5 foot tall man dive out of this. But that adds that reality to all of this and how brutal this whole thing can be.
I mean, I've seen this match multiple times. I've seen that clip multiple times. But watching it at my desk today, I literally, I did a gag. Like, you know what I mean? Because it happens and it's just so wrong. It's just so bad of just freaking straight down, like penciling into a pool. The indentation of his head on the thing.
On the mat.
He's actually concussed. He breaks his pinky. You know, he does tell the ref to do the shoot count. Like, if I don't get in there by 10, that's the end of this. Like, he tells the ref that in real life.
Wow,
like,
that's amazing.
This is what it's going to be. It's an insane thing that totally builds the match to another level and takes it to another gear. And I mean, again, Sean doing such a great job with the ref and propping him up in the corner and yelling at him. And the crowd starts getting really, you know, turning on Sean about it. Like, damn, this is so fucking good. And there's so much of that. And something we called out earlier to double down on here is what a great job the commentary team is doing. Right? I put here, like, they put out the stakes, right? Of like, even though it's Taker, it's 16-0, right? Taker has never beaten HBK on a one-on-one, right? Taker cost HBK 4 years of his career, right? Then there's just some great lines in there as they go through and are just screaming about it. Like when the first kip up from Shawn Michaels, right, where he kicks back up and after he's been hurt or whatever, and JR's like, Michaels didn't have to get up that way, but that's the way he does it at WrestleMania. Back to what you're saying of like, both of these guys are just going, like, they are all out. It's we leave it all in the field. This could be our last match of all time.
So I'm happy you said that, because, you know, this setup for this match being light versus dark, both of them having just countless finishers for every scenario that you're in, multiple things to do off the ropes, like, very, very cool how much room they had to play with and reverse and all that. But the kickups, right? These are two characters that have unique kickup animations, essentially.
Yeah.
Where it's like HBK having the full one, and then Undertaker doing the sit-up, you know? Yeah. Like, both of those are such iconic moments, and there was multiple times where both men are just flat in the ring. And it's the question of
who's gonna
get up. Like, are they both gonna go? Is it just gonna be one, just the other? And I feel like, thank you so much,
gang, gang.
That was like such a good way to show who was winning at that moment in time in the match, and also like to show that like even if at one point they were too tired to get up later in the match, they both knew.
Oh my gosh! Can we give a shout out to the ropes? How does the rope hold Undertaker up? He got up on the rope.
Old school.
And I'm
old
like,
school.
How does that hold? And also the speed in which that these guys bounce off the ropes itself. You're watching a, whatever, 6'9", 7-foot man just running off these ropes. And the speed and the power, you know, I think I'm fast. But when I look at that, I go, that's so fast, it's unbelievable. That cannot feel good or look good coming at you for sure. And yeah, there were so many great moments that I loved. The commentary, like you said, shout out to the camera work. You called it in the entrances, but every time there was a big moment, Taker has this face. You know, I brought up JBL last week on his face and like this look. Taker has this, I'm exhausted and I cannot believe this guy is still alive and kicking. And they just stay there. And somehow, you know, I would start making faces. Taker, he holds it. And you sit there for a minute and you feel it as a fan. You go, this is cinema. Yes.
I like it. One thing I want to point out in the commentary, my favorite line was JR says, choke slams, last rides, tombstone, and kick out after kick out after kick out. And it just nails the point home that Sean wants to win because it's a matter of pride. And one thing I want to point out about this match itself is there's not a true heel or face here.
Sure.
There's no one wrestling in a dirty way. It's just literally Taker versus Sean, style versus style, as Tim said. And Sean, you would think if you were watching this match that's been done multiple times, a big versus small, that the small guy is going to be fighting from underneath throughout the entire match. But no, the guile and the veteran presence of Sean to be able to outsmart Taker, that's to me where it starts working the most. And that's what I like the most when it comes to Shawn Michaels. As a Shawn Michaels guy, you know that Shawn is going to outsmart you. He's going to be agile. He's going to be the showstopper, the icon when it comes down to the main event, the headliner. And that is when he hits that sweet chin music, bro. The one that he revved up and he nailed being exhausted was probably the best sell that I've ever seen Taker do because it looked brutal. It looked brutal. And I was sitting there, I was like, Sean, why couldn't you just collapse on Taker like you normally do? That's my favorite sweet chin music. When you hit it, you
collapse on the pin. Because then the kick out wouldn't make sense, right? It's giving that second, giving Undertaker a second to go. And that's what they do such a great job of, right?
That's what's so good. The timing between everybody. You mentioned, Mike, the facial expressions. A lot of talent doesn't have that. And a lot of talent lack that as much as Taker and Shawn. And that's the journey that they put you on. And like you mentioned, the little moments, Greg, build up to the perfect, like like I said, that third act was just perfect all the way through for me.
In the live chat right now for our Kind of Funny members, Brother Still says, the face Undertaker makes when he's lying on Shawn's stomach after the kickout was so damn good. And that's another one of my notes, of course, right? Like, again, having seen this match, I still like, oh, right. Shawn does the traditional, like, grabs the bottom rope, pulls himself back up, gets to, I'm like, does it end? And then even for me, the kick out there, you're like, how the fuck is this happening, right? The look on Taker's face, followed up immediately by JR. I just had an out-of-body experience. The Undertaker's eyes tell a better story than we ever could. Again, the storytelling of these two veterans in the ring and what they're doing and this insanity as they keep going. And to the point of, the athleticism from two old guys pushing it further than, you know, like when when Taker pulls down his straps, Kurt Angle style, right, and then does the throat slit. Oh. Like, fuck, here we go. But HBK counters the Tombstone Piledriver into a DDT. Then he gets up, drops his elbow on it, warms up the band, hits sweet chin music, covers him for two. JR screams, good God almighty, the match continues. The world is watching a classic.
Dude, the streak is alive. Like, come on, man. The one thing I want to say, and I mean this only just as more of a compliment than I even thought that it was to everybody involved in the statement, but for a long time, HBK was our guy. Like, HBK was like the legend, and like me and Cool Greg started watching so late that like he had returned at that point, like, and was just weekly there. But the way his presence, you felt like, oh, he's more special than everyone else here. Like, there's something about him for just being a dude. He wasn't Undertaker.
Just being
whatever. He's just a dude, and it's like you can just feel the legacy, whether it's the song or just his moveset, all of that stuff. But he's so special. He is Mr. WrestleMania, not just because he calls himself it, but because He's just a dude that is larger than life. And for years since Seth Rollins, I've always been like, I don't understand Seth Rollins. Like, it just, he's not my guy. And it was during the era I wasn't watching. I didn't see the Shield stuff. I didn't see the come up or whatever.
Sure.
But in recent times, seeing Seth, now that we're so much back into WWE, I'm so impressed with him as a just a dude. You know?
Workhorse.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, he's a workhorse. He's out there. His moveset is just vast and like varied, and he really, really, really tries to put on a show, do all the things, have the songs, have the bits, all of it. And for I've been telling my brother this constantly. I've been telling a lot of people. I'm like, I now get it. I think Seth Rollins is like the modern Shawn Michaels. Like, I put them together. Seeing this match, I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Shawn Michaels is Shawn Michaels. And like, that's
we'll
not.
See 20 years from now,
yeah,
Seth Rollins.
And that's my thing. It's like, yeah, that I'm not saying this as a dig at Rollins at all.
No,
I
not
still,
at all.
I do think that I stand by what I'm saying. I feel like he is the modern Shawn Michaels, but I just almost feel like I can't even equate the two at all because Shawn Michaels is freaking special, man.
I just got to tell a story. You said he was bigger than life. I remember going to the Frank Irvin Center, the Drum in Austin, Texas, and there was a meet and greet, and it was for Shawn Michaels. I forget how old I was, probably my 12. It was when Monday Night Raw was on Nintendo 64. I go down there with the box cart, the box of Monday Night Raw on Nintendo 64, and had Stone Cold on the cover, right? Yeah. And I'm just a kid, and I'm so excited, and there's Shawn Michaels. And I'd never, ever, ever been starstruck in my life. I could feel the aura of this man. It is electric, and I'm shaking like a deer, man. He walks up, and I'm like, here's my game. And he takes it, he looks at the cover, and goes, huh. Flips it over, and on the back of the cover, it's Shawn Michaels getting body slammed by Stone Cold. and he goes, all right. And then he signs it, and then he's like chewing gums, and he says, there you go, kid. And I remember this experience all my life. I don't know where that cover is. I got to look for it now that I'm back home in Austin. But Tim, the dude is bigger than life, and he is beyond the guy. But he is Mr. WrestleMania, you know. I still remember that moment. I never will forget it. And I've met famous people. But nothing holds a candle to Shawn Michaels.
An amazing story, but I have to tell you, of course, that was WWF Warzone on the N64.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Warzone, you're
God,
correct.
How embarrassing. He's
the worst. Sorry.
The one thing I want to say before we move on to finish, I think it's telling, is my last bullet point is Shawn Michaels always looks like he's in this. He can do this. Because, like, again, we're talking about this mountain to climb into the, you know, we all had, you watch this, you see the matchup, he's not gonna end the streak. He's, again, watching this knowing the streak doesn't end, but you're like, fuck, Sean's got that dog in him, he could do this, he could make it happen. Easily a 5 out of 5 match, I assume, for everyone. Again, right, Sancho?
Yes. Okay, whoa, I was just saying it's 5 out of 5, man. But one thing I want to point out is it's the finish, which we're gonna get to.
You can start it right now. Talk to me about the finish.
Okay. The finish is really cool because if you want to compare it to, Mike, to what's going on now, it's more of like a New Japan finish where you're going to see finisher and finisher and counters of finisher, and it's going to be a long, drawn-out ending. My favorite part of the finish is what the WWE did to build to WrestleMania 26, is when they had a rematch between the two, is that Shawn Michaels goes, I had him, I was close, but it was just one mistake, and that one mistake haunts me throughout the entire year. His little moonsault into the tombstone counter was by far one of the coolest ways to end it. And what I liked about it the most is that Shawn sells it like he just literally he's dead. You know, like that tombstone knocked him out. And there's a lot of the talent these days in other promotions, they don't sell a finish beyond that 3 count. I asked Santi this during our podcast, and I asked you gentlemen this, because it's a 5 out of 5 finish anyway. I ask you this, Greg. How long do you think a finisher knocks somebody out? Is it 4 seconds? Is it 5 seconds? Like, what's the stun time of a finisher? Because the tombstone from Undertaker, especially like a jumping-esque one,
yeah,
I'm thinking it's like 10 to 15 seconds are down.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know how it actually is, right? You shouldn't fucking move until the winner's out of the ring, and or you've rolled out of the ring to give them their moment or whatever, right? That's the thing. You've lost. It's that one where it's like, you know, even as like it can work so well. The ones I hate are the 1, 2, 3, and there's one notable exception, so don't yell at me yet, everybody. But the 1, 2, 3, and then the person who just lost kicks out at like 3.5. Like
Hogan, you mean?
I'm not naming names, but I would give the pass to Foley at Hell in the Cell. when he just moves his leg in the slowest fashion. You're like, that's fucking
that's
awesome.
Great. Yeah,
it's like
character
you're almost dead and still in it. But like, that's fine. I'm fine with that. But you know what I mean? Like, there's that thing about, I'm with you of how long it should go and what it should be. What I loved about the finish, right? We rank all these different things, is that even watching, it's like, where do you really start the finish? Because it feels like this is the most, arguably the most video game ass IRL match of all time, where your friend just keeps countering your special. God damn it.
Game with cheat codes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlimited special.
Yeah. And so, like, it would just go from him, you know, again, Shawn Michaels looks like he can do this. HBK goes for the moonsault, caught into it, fucking done. And then the King, he did it. 17-0, says JR. Both men laying there cashed, exhausted, done. And I love, what I really love about it is you can hear it in JR, King, and Cole's voice. They are basking in it. Mm-hmm. Then, like, King eventually says, this is what WrestleMania is all about. But it's like, even when they're not talking, you know that they're feeling exactly what we're feeling, right? Right before the finish actually started in earnest is when the fans in the second row start doing the worshiping, right? And they're chanting, this is awesome. And the King even calls it out, which is a great show on Peacock. Everybody should watch. You know what I mean? Like, just fantastic stuff. And then, for some reason, we go to Evander Holyfield. But again,
I know,
even the announcers are like, we are not going to mention this. This doesn't need to be part of the story. All right, thanks, Evander. You know what I mean?
The worst cutover ever. I hated that moment.
It was perfect. It had everything that I wanted. I love the kickouts. I love the 1-2 oohs. I eat that up, especially in a match like this where two giants are just exhausted. They're putting the tank on empty, and you can see it. They're going back and forth. They're hitting all the coolest moves. I mean, when he countered that last ride or whatever, where he picked him up and he kind of sideways.
Yeah, comes down for the pin. Oh, the sideways.
That was crazy. I mean, that was some movement that you've never seen before. And the last rides, the tombstones, the sweet chin music, Undertaker trying to do the big elbow onto the ground.
Yeah, stealing Shawn's move. Yeah.
Right? Like, it was awesome to have that. And you can feel the energy at home and I'm sure in the crowd of like, this is picking up to something incredible. And as someone who's never seen this, doesn't know about the streak, I thought this was it. I was fully sold on he's going to end the streak right here, right now. He's going to get up on top of this turnbuckle. He's going high rent district. He's going to put on a show. And man, I am in awe of Taker's strength. For someone who is that exhausted, you have to think after 30 minutes, to stand there looking half dead and catch a man, grab a hold of him, and do that was awesome. And then you finish with the cool Taker. Eyes roll back to the back of your head. He's got
giant tongue out.
I'm freaking out. It's going to haunt my dreams forever.
What more can we say? Like, it's a five, but for me, it is a five because they left it all on the line and it was all about the finishers. Two men with so many finishers. And I think the most unique thing about wrestlers at this level is how they can get creative with the reversals, with using each other's finishers, with every combination of that. And when you get two guys that have sweet chin music and the crossface and the elbow off the top rope and the moonsault and the last ride and the old school and Hell's Gate submission, like all of these things just result in something so special that when it ends with the moonsault into the tombstone, like, it was a perfect end. Like, it felt so good at any moment for the last 5 minutes. It could have went either way. And when it ends, you're like, it had to go this way. And this was it. This was the three count, and it made sense.
100%. Yeah. What a match. What a moment.
17-0. By the way.
Yeah, the wall up there. When 17-0
on the giant wall behind. It was like, yeah, that's how you end this.
So someone in the graphics package had to know the result. And I don't know, they had to. They had the 16-1 and said, who knows? Well, one thing I want to point out, gentlemen, is this is a interesting thing. I personally think, Mike, if you want, you could cover your ears if you want, if you don't want to hear what I'm about to say, because it's a spoiler if you want to go down this journey. When the Undertaker streak ends against Brock Lesnar, now watching this match, I feel like that was probably the worst mistake because there's something special about the streak. It is a must-watch WrestleMania. Sometimes you would buy a WrestleMania to see Taker fight somebody.
Yeah.
And when that aura is lost, I feel like this is why you're missing out. There's like a linchpin of Mania is gone because of that. And one of the things I want to point out, to bringing this to modern day, is the bloodline. All right? Everyone's talking that they want Cody Rhodes to finish the story. I get it. But what you gonna do when the Bloodline storyline is over? The Bloodline is the reason why there's so many people at a feverish pace that WWE is outperforming its most it's ever done since the Attitude, almost the Attitude Era. And I'm just saying, the Roman streak, when that day is over, when Roman loses the title, it's going to be extremely difficult for the WWE to land the plane, as we like to say in Kind of Funny, land the plane, because it's just impossible to be, get it right. Because considering that even the Taker, when that ended, you were like, why? You know, it didn't hit. And you thought it would, and
now you're trying to get me to go. And now you're trying to get me riled up for a different podcast with a podcast.
Just say it, right? Like, just say it. I'm just saying.
I mean, the problem you're talking about landing the plane never lands in WWE. It's always moving, right? So it's like what'll happen. What has to happen is that you know a heel will have to rise to fight Cody Rhodes, you know, as champion, and do that. And it's like you'll still have Roman and the Bloodline falling apart, tearing themselves apart, doing all these different things. But is it Shinsuke? Is it going to be Rollins? Is it you know, where the fuck's Punk gonna be? And when does he come back? Like, there's a million pieces to it, but it's going to be Lex Luger victory parade for a while, I think, when he finally does. But yes, there will be a depression of like, okay, cool. The hierarchy of the WWE universe has changed. Now what happens?
Oh, no.
I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready.
I digress. I think we all agree overall this match is a 5 out of 5.
Yes. 5 out of 5.
Yeah. Just a great pick, Fuego del Sol. Great one. Thanks for getting that in there.
I'm just surprised he didn't pick WrestleMania 26.
Well, Greg, you can take it up with him, all right? He's
I know he's going to fold me in half. Or crying me to death.
Shoot star press into your living room.
Yeah, something. But it's one of those matches that I think the reason why I like that one a little bit more, if it gets a 5.5, is because there's more stakes to it. Now we're talking about greater stakes, Mike. This is where if Shawn loses, he has to retire.
Oh, ooh. No.
See? See? And you get, like, there's a moment at the end of that, Mike, you're just like, hell yeah, dude, Shawn's awesome.
Okay.
You gotta watch it,
okay,
Mike.
Okay, we'll put it on the list.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is called WrestleMania Ranked. That means we review each and every WrestleMania in the categories we already have and then rank them against each other, these matches. But not before we have a special segment we call One Man Gang Gang. Of course, this is where WWE Superfan and Kinda Funny G Cool Greg comes out and tells us his thoughts on the match. Cool Greg, what did you think of Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels?
What's up, everybody? Sancho, how are you? What's going on?
Cool. You're awesome, Cool Greg. You're the man, dude.
Appreciate you. This is one of the weird ones where I've seen this match a bunch of times, so I knew it was going to be a 5 out of 5. It's definitely a 5 out of 5, but it's weird watching it alone. The All-Star game was on when Tim decided to watch it and throw it on with Gia, so I ended up not watching this match with him. It's the first time I've seen this match alone, and damn, it took it out of me a little bit. It wasn't nearly as exciting just because I didn't see the same things that normally Tim gets excited about or James would get excited about that I don't care about. And it's like, oh yeah, people care about that. So, but one other thing I wanted to add was he was saying shout out to the ropes for when Undertaker does old school.
Yeah.
I tried to Google it and find it. I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure Taker's hit old school during the Royal Rumble. So like when he's in the Rumble match, he's hit that before, walked down, and it's like, oh, is he going to throw him over?
Just push him off.
I'm pretty positive he's done that. Breaking I couldn't find it because they're just too, both Royal Rumble and Undertaker are too infamous. But yeah, 5 out of 5, easy. Love you guys.
Excellent. Thank you, Cool Greg, as always. All right, it's time to rank the Mania matches so far.
You have to?
The list looks like this. Number one, Rock versus Hogan at WrestleMania X8. Number two, Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35. Number three, Bayley versus Charlotte versus Sasha versus Nia at WrestleMania 33. And number four, JBL versus Finlay at WrestleMania 24.
Who put that match on the card? Was it
JB fucking L did? JBL picked that and made us watch that. You know what I mean? Hey, he's remember, like the perfect heel of like, hey, watch a bad match of mine rather than any of my good matches. I digress.
Reminder, the match before this one was Ray versus JBL.
And, yeah.
You know, thank you, Ray.
A great, you know, don't get me started. Sancho, where would you rank this on the list?
Man, I sure do love Hogan Rock. It's probably my favorite one of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to keep it up there. I love Kofi Mania. Kofi Mania was,
of course,
awesome. The only tarnished thing about Kofi Mania was what happened in the Monday night after was just awful. I would have to put this at 2. I like Taker and Shawn. They're awesome. But there's something special about Icon versus Icon. And the crowd of Toronto. Yeah, Toronto.
Yeah.
Just took that match to a whole other level. And at the same time, that one wasn't for belts, as Tim liked to point out. But I cannot let go of Streak versus the career, and the final moments of that match is a stronger memory for me than that one, and then this one, then 25, and I could honestly remember this one as Taker almost just like ruined his life with that.
Yeah, we were inches away from centimeters probably from a much different ending than that one. Thank God that didn't
happen. Much different ending. So yeah. That's the only thing I could walk away from this one, but it's still a stellar match. And yeah, it's number two for me on the list.
You're talking about two matches that are clearly 5 out of 5. Amazing things. Like, yes. Really are. Like, this is what WrestleMania is all about. And I love this match. I think, hands down, the match itself is better than Rock Hogan. Like, that doesn't surprise anybody. But I'm with Sancho of, like, there's something about Rock Hogan from stem to stern that made it so special that it's still the match I would show anybody of, like, this is professional wrestling. This is what it is. Again, this is a much better wrestling match. This is a much more exciting, you know, longer bout of people going at it, leaving it out there. But it's like, I would put this as number two as well. And that breaks my heart because, again, I don't want to act like I'm shit-talking an amazing match. Timothy, I see you thinking.
There's no thought. This is number two. Hogan, Rock. That is the lightning in a bottle, and you can't create that. And like, there's something about that you just can't account for. Like, I feel like this is a better match. I think this is better pretty much in every way overall. Like, this is better, but sometimes better isn't actually the thing that like puts it over the top. Like, the other one is just so special that, yeah, it's number one. I feel like we've said this many times. Wrestling can be so many things. Wrestling is many things. This is a perfect example of what this type of wrestling is. That's a perfect example of what that type of wrestling is. But at the end of the day, I got to give it to Rock Hogan because I just don't ever think that something like that can happen again. I do think something like this can happen again.
Man, you guys said some really great things about that one. It was fun to watch the passing of the torch. Toronto absolutely brought it. There was some special moments there, but this is number one. This is the absolute peak of wrestling. The storyline of 16-0 versus Mr. WrestleMania, 16 years. You have a 30-minute just all-out brawl, leaving it on the table. The moves there were stunning and incredible. The crowd got up when they needed to get up, and the finale of it all, I mean, that is unmatched. Yes, we saw passing of the torch. It was beautiful. It was a special moment. But that finale in the ring and the actual moves, I don't know if you can top that from what we saw from those two. And yeah, if we went hype package for hype package, all blah, 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 I still go with this one. So this is my number one. This is unreal.
Well, by a vote of 1-3, you lose.
Yes. Yes.
Too bad. people in the chat were very angry.
Yes. They're with me. They know.
Toby Blue. This is number one easy. I'll be shocked if it gets topped, he said right before we started voting.
But just like with wrestling, winning doesn't mean everything. Exactly, sometimes losing feels good too.
The best line, he beat Andre with that move. Yeah, like, come on. That really solidified it. And, dude.
And so Rock v. Hogan, so WrestleMania X8 continues to be number one, but number two, Taker versus HBK at WrestleMania 25 enters.
And what's last again?
Fray.
What's last again?
Last is JBL Finley from WrestleMania 24. You want to go put that at 10 now and see if anything fills in before WrestleMania in Philadelphia? We'll find out, ladies and gentlemen. But to see what we are watching for next week, we asked the man, Becky Lynch.
Hello, it is the man, Becky Lynch, and my WrestleMania match pick for you to watch is the man, big time, Becky Lynch versus the EST, Bianca Belair, at WrestleMania 38. One of my favorites. Go watch it. Go now. Go on. Hello.
I love it.
There you go.
Thank you, Becky. That's so cool.
Your homework for next week, everybody, is to watch Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 38, then come back here to have us review and rank it and shove it into the rankings and see where it all ends up. Sancho, before we let you go, where can people keep up with you?
You can keep up with me on Mondays and Fridays. We're doing watch parties for Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and the PLE for the Elimination Chamber. I will be up at 4 a.m.
Whoa!
I used to be up for Fortnite updates. I could do this.
Dedication.
The dedication to the craft. You can find me on twitch.tv/SanchoWest for those. If you can't watch live, you need a refresher, you need a wrap-up, go to Sancho West Wrestling on TikTok again. It's the only place where I could put the content without anyone breathing down my neck from the Fed. So go ahead and watch it. And I post wrap-ups either the night of or the night after Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. And there's like a 3 to 5 minute little clip You get to know everything that happened and what went down for that show. And that way you get to keep up with wrestling for a major PLE.
Sounds great. Sancho, thank you so much for your time.
It's always a pleasure.
Remember, everybody, that's another episode of the Kind of Funny Screencast special, WWE WrestleMania Ranked. Each and every week leading up to WrestleMania 40, we're reviewing and ranking a match handpicked by our wrestling friends. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get each and every episode ad-free, to watch us record the other podcasts live as we record them, including this one, I guess, technically, and, of course, your exclusive show, Gregway, each and every day. You can get the Kind of Funny Screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Until next time, it's clobbering time.